Welcome to the Claim Hunters. I am Chris Tidball, an executive claim consultant with Subro IQ, where we routinely find our clients significant amounts of trapped cash. On our show, we will explore the epidemic of trapped cash across not only the insurance industry, but the global business landscape. Our guests bring a unique perspective on challenges faced by businesses that impact their bottom line. We believe that everyone has a great story to tell, and this is the forum to tell it. We hope you enjoyed today's episode and stick around to learn more about how you can be a guest in 20 minutes or less. Welcome to the Claim Hunters. I am your host, Chris Tidball, and I am here with Mike Cummings, who is the head of claims at Norfolk and Dedham Insurance. It's a mouthful. It Welcome, is. Mike.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. How's the conference going so far?
So far, it's great.
Yeah,
it's my second year going. Okay. And last year, obviously with claims litigation being kind of the huge, a big driver, at least with our company, big driver
yes.
of our paid loss. From a frequency perspective, it's probably 20%, but it really drives a lot of our severity. Coming to a conference like this and kind of hearing others what they're doing within the industry to kind of combat not only the severity of it, but also just how do you manage the expenses of it more effectively, right?
So yeah, it's become. I mean, it's a challenge. I mean, the litigation costs are just going up, and there's some interesting statistics that Sweet 200 pulled together, which I'm going to dig into that report. It's some pretty fascinating stuff. But what are you guys doing to combat the rising tide of severities, deals, nuclear verdicts? I mean, it seems like a perfect storm of bad things.
Right. Yeah. So one of the things that, for my role at Norfolk and Dedham, I'm there a little bit over 2 years now.
Right.
And one of the things that we kind of struggle with is kind of getting consistent claims handling. So,
yes.
So really we've driven standard procedures, making sure that everybody's, following what we need to as far as managing the claim from cradle to grave. Right.
Yeah.
And really kind of trying to be aggressive on those unrepresented claimants that maybe in the past we were a little bit more passive in handling. And in some cases, then we go to attorneys or kind of fast-size into larger claims that we didn't expect. And so we're trying to be a little more aggressive on those claims. And then the ones that, the trend, and I'm sure you've heard from other folks that have been on the podcast, but the trend we're seeing is that a lot of claimant attorneys are kind of delaying their severity of the claim, right? So not giving us information for months on end.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, you hear it's, they have injections, they have multiple surgeries potentially. It really drives our severity and then it hurts our defense of those claims, once we get eventually goes to the suit. So
no, I mean, it's tough because, you get these injections that can be, thousands and thousands of dollars. And then you go get a surgery that probably wasn't needed in the first place, but they already got the surgery.
Right. Exactly.
It is very hard to defend that because what are you going to tell the jury that, well, they shouldn't have cut them open, but they've got a doctor that says, yeah, I should have.
Yeah, exactly.
So how do you combat that? Like, how do you get the rep letter in, what if anything can you do to be proactive on those?
What we've been trying to do is kind of investigate them more to try to get some look on social media, see what they're what they're doing, is if they're active or not, and then trying to kind of use some third parties to try to figure out what they're doing instead of kind of sitting back. If they're doing all that stuff, it's tough to combat it outright, but it's more about kind of just pestering the plaintiff attorney and trying to get information from them so that you can be better prepared.
So you've got it, claim comes in. I mean, and obviously there's hard fraud and soft fraud, right? I mean, there's hard fraud it's an outright faked accident. It's a staged accident. And, that's one thing. And that's about 10% of all claims.
Yeah.
But the bigger piece of the fraud is the soft fraud, right? So it's the accident really did happen, but you've got the medical bills. And there's about a third of the medical bills involve deceptive billing practices.
Right.
You're upcoding, you're unbundling, you're modifier abuse, all that. And I mean, you can, sort of fight that at times. But again, it's tough depending on the state. Sometimes you can, board all your bills. You got, $50,000 policy limits, and you got $200,000 in medical bills that probably should have been $20,000, but that's what they're putting up there, and that's what the jury's seeing. So you get proactive, you get the rep letter in. I mean, you're doing your social media, right? I mean, that's what I say, about two-thirds of all social media accounts are public. Find out they're bungee jumping and scuba diving and traveling the world, and document that. Surveillance, you guys do any surveillance?
In certain cases we do. If we kind of get some nibbles on social media, then we'll start to do some surveillance pieces.
So then, are you getting out in front of the attorney with that? Like, look, before you're too far invested in this case, you might want to watch this with me.
Yeah, and that's I think that's key too for these cases that where we're not getting much information. If we get some nibbles on social media, we'll kind of dig into it. Then we're trying to be a little more proactive with third parties
Do you
too.
find attorneys are responsive to that?
I think some are, some aren't. And again, I think if they're playing the game and kind of racking up some of the medicals, then it's difficult to combat that. But at least you can use that in negotiations once you once it's time to settle. And then eventually, if you're kind of draw a hard line to try to have them throw it in a suit and try to have a jury listen to it instead of try to use it. Usually from a negotiation perspective, they're not going to use it. They're not going to be too swayed if they're really driven up the medicals too high. So
And do you have you guys had an acquisition recently, right? You acquired another
yeah. So
company?
we
Merger
yeah we
acquisition?
merged
Merge, okay.
with Union Mutual of Vermont. So mainly their book of business is mostly property. But they do have a obviously with a lot of GL claims that are associated with that. So and their book was a little bit smaller than our book. And it's kind of positioned more kind of the northeast of New England, where are primarily in Massachusetts. So their litigation is not as high as ours, thankfully, but kind of over time it's probably going to start to drive up. And one of the things that we're looking at kind of jointly as a team is some technology to be able to better analyze medical bills and kind of once we get demand packages, trying to find those nuggets within those demand packages that normally would take a long time for an adjuster to kind of look through. They're using AI to
Sort it.
skim through those, try to find things that maybe you'd miss or you just don't have time to look at them.
Kind of sort it, organize it, index it, and here's the like 10 things you really want to look at. And then that gives your adjuster more time to go and do their investigation, and hopefully, their investigation yields what they need it to yield, so you can, build a strong case. Any any good ones lately? Anything that's like, whoa, you got to hear this.
Nothing that comes to mind. Actually, a lot of our, we write a lot of property and we're up in the Northeast. So we've gotten really hit by the storms recently. So the big thing when you get a lot of snow up in the Northeast, it's typically ice dams. So we've had a lot of ice dams, but also sprinkler, freeze up of sprinkler systems with large commercial properties. That's probably been driving a lot of our severity. Those are tough to kind of combat.
I mean, it happened. I mean, it was a cold, brutal winter with a lot of snow, and thing you guys had, was it Boston that had like tremendous amount of snow, one of the storms.
Kind of closer down by Rhode Island, they got like close to 3 feet of snow. So
I mean, that's
it's
unheard of.
ridiculous. Yeah.
And I mean, 3 feet of snow on a roof, I mean,
Yeah.
it's pretty heavy.
Yeah, I was surprised we didn't get that many collapse. We got kind of one severe collapse claim, but yeah, the majority of what we got for kind of the snow related stuff was really ice dams.
So how are you guys leveraging AI beyond just, your demand packages?
So we're still kind of in the infant stages of kind of looking at AI. One of the things that we're trying to look at is using AI to kind of summarize our claim notes. That has kind of a dual purpose. One is we interact a lot with our agents. So our agents are typically advocates for our insureds. And so when they have a question on what's going on with the claims, typically they'll go to their agent rather than they'll come to us sometimes. And so to give agents more visibility into what's happening on the claim, we're going to be producing kind of a summary of the claim notes within our agent portal. That's the hope to be able to release that to them. So that's kind of one thing that we're working on with AI. Second thing is kind of summarizing claim notes and then being able to then detect actions as they happen through the claim. And then use those to kind of either tap the adjuster or tap the supervisor to say that these are things that maybe haven't happened yet that you should take that
Yeah,
should take place, you know?
makes sense. Yeah, I mean, and that helps drive the consistency that you were talking about.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And it really drives quality. So ideally, if we can get use AI to kind of quality control some of our claims and then use the, either prompts or things within AI to tap the adjuster on the shoulder, tap the supervisor to get involved in the open claims, then
Makes sense. So are you guys, are you in office or out of office or both?
yeah, we're both are hybrid. And so we're typically in the office kind of Tuesdays and Thursdays. And the rest of the time we're doing kind of remote work. So
Is that
with our newer employees, we typically have them in Tuesday through Thursday to kind of
so Tuesday through Thursday,
yeah,
yeah.
to yeah.
Kind of
So
learn
learn
the
and
ropes. Yeah.
their supervisor will be in there on Tuesdays with them, so they have questions, and some
Right.
other select team members will be in there as
Yeah.
well to kind of mentor and ask
Yeah.
questions.
I mean, it makes sense. And there's, you know, it seems like some companies are, you know, we're fully remote. One guest was telling me, we're fully remote. We've actually sold all of our corporate
Really?
property. And then you've got others that are like, we're bringing everybody back, but, you know, we're seeing turnover because nobody wants to come back. So I guess you're kind of doing the best of both worlds.
And one of the things that we're kind of meld since we merged with Union Mutual. Union Mutual is kind of a company. They went to totally virtual, and our team is kind of Tuesday and Thursdays. I like the hybrid approach where we have, especially we're starting to hire a lot more younger folks onto the team. There's some mentoring that happens there, but then kind of balancing the our team with the union team to make sure that there's not animosity to say that. And typically, it's on our team. It's the older generation that they don't need to build up their network. They understand what they're doing, so there's not really a need for them to be in the office every day. Whereas they'd be great for them to be able to mentor some of the younger folks.
I'm
So it's
sure.
kind of balancing those two is giving our more experienced staff the flexibility, but also having them in the office to be able to mentor the younger generation that's there. So.
Yeah, and it's, you know, you bring up an interesting point because you have, you know, across the industry, I mean, you have adjusters are retiring in very large numbers. I think it's of all the professions, it's like right up at the top of we're out of here. And you've got this younger generation that, you know, there's a knowledge gap. So, you know, what are your thoughts on, you mentioned you're hiring younger adjusters. You know, is there a reason behind that?
I think we just get better results with our own staff instead of trying to find things out to IAs or to, we have a large, we do a lot of auto claims, so having our own appraiser staff, I think, is kind of beneficial. So that's kind of the genesis of trying to hire more people to get better outcomes. But also, since we do have kind of a varied workforce where we have a lot of experienced folks that, as you said, are kind of retiring out, to build that younger generation up so they can fill the ranks and we can have sustainable people within the claims organization. And I do think AI is going to take some of that slack of people leaving and giving people experience via AI to be able to handle claims. But that's not going to happen overnight, and I don't think hopefully it doesn't go away altogether. I had a bad experience just recently calling like Verizon, where I got stuck in like an AI hell of
Oh my gosh, yeah, it's the queue, you can't just get around
exactly.
your agent,
Yeah, and you can't get out of it, right? So I don't think we'll ever get to that. I hope not. But so that there's some there's got to be human in the loop to be able to have some conversations, and it can't just be all AI. Well, I think some companies are going to move to all AI handled claims, straight through processing of claims. But I think we'll take it a little bit more slow than that. I think just as a mutual in the Northeast, we kind of more conservative, and I think even our policyholder base is a little bit more mature, that
Right.
they like to have more of a face-to-face, not face-to-face, but just a more conversation than kind of just dealing with an
Right.
AI bot and trying to settle all
Yeah,
claims.
talking to a person. We had a guest on here that was from an AI company, and we were talking through some pretty interesting stuff, and the advancements that they've made are unbelievable.
Oh yeah, it's
And
crazy.
the question is, are you ever going to get to a point where you have an AI bot that's so smart that it can critically think and it can do things like negotiation? Could it ever replace a human? And I think, in AI world, I think they do think that is could happen. I think
I think
it's
it will happen. It will happen.
yeah. I mean, so how does that work? You have a you're an adjuster in a state, right? You're an AI adjuster in a state. You got to be licensed, so you got to license this AI bot. The AI bot commits bad faith because they didn't respond to the time limit demand on time, and now you're looking down, at a $10 million judgment maybe. Who's on the hook for that?
But that's going to be a tough one, right? And
Yeah,
who testifies, right? Because
right.
the AI bot
With
testify,
yeah.
right? So it's not, does it remember what it actually did, So those are going to be tough ones. Those are going to be test cases that are going to eventually go through the court system.
Because I do think you're right. I do think there will be companies that try to go 100% AI at some point. But I think there's going to be a lot of companies like you guys that understand there is the need for that human relationship, and you recognize your policyholders want that. Maybe not in 20 or 30 years when nobody wants to talk to people anymore, because that's the generation now. But for now, I think people want that. Just look at them. I'm calling my agent, and the agent calls you. And I think there will be a lot of the hybrid. I think, AI serves a big benefit in making adjusters more efficient, doing the old, tasks that, are just busy work. And that just frees the adjusters up to do a better job.
Yeah, it'd be interesting too to see where some of these package solutions as claim systems kind of go with AI, right? So AI, can conceivably kind of overlay what's in a package solution out there. And we're struggling with that too. We actually have our own kind of claim system, and the things that we want to do, we could probably do in AI instead of trying to create a new claim system, So,
No, fascinating stuff. So if people want to learn more about NND, where do they go?
well, they can go to see us on LinkedIn. So, and there, well, we also have a website. So, but typically, we market our products through our agents. So we're pretty committed to the independent agent in Massachusetts and. Massachusetts, as well as all the New England states.
Okay, so if someone's up in New England, they want a NND policy, they hit their local agent up, and
Go to our website and find an authorized agent, and then from there, we actually have a agent locator that you can go ahead and
Well, that's great.
find a policy.
Great. Well, thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah,
All
thanks for
right.
having me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Thank you for joining the Claim Hunters. We hope you enjoyed our show. If you would like to share your story, head on over to subroiq.com and click the YouTube button.